Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Page 72. Actually, the Lord's name already exists because of His transcendental activities. The Lord is sometimes called Guna Karma Nama because He is named according to His transcendental activities. For example, Krishna means all-attractive. This is the Lord's name because His transcendental qualities make Him very attractive. As a small boy, He lifted Govardhan Hill, and in His childhood, He killed many demons. Such activities are very attractive, and therefore He is sometimes called Giridhari, Madhusudana, Aga Nishudana, and so on. Because He acted as the son of Nanda Maharaj, He is called Nanda Tanja. These names already exist. But since non-devotees cannot understand the names of the Lord, He is sometimes called Anama, or nameless. This means He has no material names. All His activities are spiritual, and therefore He has spiritual names. Okay, so the Lord performs activities. Those activities can be described. Therefore, the names are coming from there. So they're just describing His qualities. So as such, you can say He doesn't have a name, because He has unlimited ways to describe Him, so you can't say He has a name like that. Is that yes?
For us, chanting the holy name is the main process.
Yes.
So we have Nama Kirtan and Lila Kirtan, but in terms of Lila Kirtan, we don't practice that much.
See, the main way is Lila Kirtan is just reading the scriptures and discussing the pastimes. That's the main thing. You can formalize it into a particular musical performance. But it's the hearing and chanting about the Lord's name, form, qualities, and pastimes that's important. So to make sure a minimum that is done, then we have a certain amount of japa that we perform. And then when we can, we get together with devotees and discuss about the Lord. Right, so this is technically what we're discussing now is would be, you know, Lila Kirtan, when you discuss like that. The other thing, if you want to get into that, then you have to be an excellent musician, and you also have to, have the tolerance to sit there for these programs. You have to have the tolerance, you know, it's not, you, it means a Lila Kirtani, you can't give him a half an hour Kirtan slot. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work like that. They take very long time. So, see, the original Lila Kirtan was being done in the, Garanhata style. That was given by, Narottam Das Thakur. So that's the original, you could say, our bhajans. And so it's based on the Drupad music, so it's classical music, but it's done in a more lighter and less formal style, right? Because Vrindavan's doesn't have the Aishwarya aspect. So the Drupad will have that Aishwarya, that Vaikuntha, very formal, everything like that. But within it has so many techniques. Nowadays you generally don't hear them. So then for us, we use all those different techniques. It gives the varieties in the songs. Does that make some sense? So you have that, you know, like say, for example, within one song has four parts, four verses. You can sing each of those four verses in a different raga. depending on the flavor, what's there. Or you could use the same raga, but you could use different meters. So one's slow, one's fast, one's, you know, like this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or you can combine that. Right? So you don't hear people doing that in classical kirtan. You don't even hear them doing it in the general bhajans, hardly. So because it was so long, let's say like the song Nittai Pada Kamala. Right? If you're going to sing that, then in the style that we use, which is the Manoharshayi style, I think that was given by, Srinivasacharya. Then it takes us like 6 minutes or something to sing the song, 6 to 8 minutes. In Gadanhati, it would take 45 minutes. So you hear this style, you know, you hear the locals singing and they'll do Hare Krishna and they'll take, you know, the Rama and go on and on and on with it. But all the other words are the regular length.
Yeah.
So that's something that was maybe 120 years, 100, something like that, 30 years ago, that started in Navadvip. It was a style that started. But Manoharshayi means it's all, normally the kirtan, they're all the same. So Manoharshayi is a shortened form of Gadanhati. So the style that we sing is Manoharshayi. And so then all the words are, you know, shorter. It means in the time you spend singing them. And so then, the Gadanhati, so if you took like that one word that's so long that they do locally, the Gadanhati would be all 16 words would be that long. Right? So classical means we generally use, you know, eight beat mantras. Sometimes, you know, nowadays when you go fast, everybody does the boom diddy stuff from the North Indian Dolak, you know. It's in 4 beats. And so, but the classical music goes up to 16 beats, you know, for the cycle of the Mridanga mantra. So the Gadanhati, you know, has that at 16, but generally they do more than that. They're double that. You know, 4 goes into 8, 8 goes into 16, or 7 goes into 14, right? So 16 goes into 32, 14 goes into 28. You know, you get 56, you get 108. There's one that's even 256 beats long before it comes back to the beginning. So you understand is how slow everything is. Right. It's not that it's we're not talking, you know, house here or something. We're talking it's very long and drawn out. Does that make some sense?
Yeah.
So, therefore, we're saying, why don't we do this classical thing? You have hard enough just getting through a regular mantra. There's a little fanciness to it. We can't sing it. I remember in Vrindavan, I was talking with someone there from Vrindavan. And, every Kartik, they invite Bengali kirtaniers to Vrindavan to do kirtan. And they were singing some tune. I said, nice tune and all that. And the guy said, who's the organizer? He said that only Bengalis can respond to this. You know, it's like, because you have the kirtaniers there, so there's just a few of them, 3 or 4, and that's it. So they can sing it. He said, but in Bengal, you have a group of people, they can respond. He says, but over here they can't. You have to have these really short. So I think that side, they don't even use that. They use the shorter ones. You have Jharkhanda and one other one that are even more short than what we sing. And so the whole point is they could sing like this. They have that musical talent. They have these things like that. They can catch this. And so then these things would mean something to them because they could be absorbed in the kirtan and singing a nice tune. But generally when we're singing a nice tune, it's about the nice tune. You know, the guys are there. It's the madunga. It's the tattoos. It's the earrings. It's the jots. It's the, you know, the thing that they're doing. They're doing the fancy beats. They're doing all the things. They're looking at each other, you know, and, you know, grooving on what's happening and, you know, all that. Where's the kirtan? Okay, they're great musicians. That's nice, you know. But the tradition is they're great musicians, but they're not worried about the music. They're worried about singing for Krishna. So why do we sing a fancy tune? Right? Much of the time it's because everybody's heard the tunes. They want something new. Right? So it's a matter of variety. So what gets old? Material. Spiritual never gets old. Like I was impressed. I was noticing this time when Indra Dunmars was here. He's singing the tunes back from the 60s and 70s. And he never sings anything different. That's all he ever sings is those tunes. And his kirtans are wonderful. And you never even notice it. It was only this kind because I wasn't in the kirtan. I was upstairs. And I could hear and I was going, hey, that's it. You know. It's just he sings them so nice because he's into the name itself. That gives the ornamentation. So it's not the tricks, it's not the this, it's that. So being able to be such good musicians that you can play these technical classical stuff at the same time as not be absorbed in it. It's like riding a bicycle and being able to talk to someone. You know, you don't think about the bicycle, you know, but the guys that are on the bicycle, they got the shoes, they got the helmet, they got the things, they got the that, and it's all about the bicycle and the lead and the G-force and all that kind of stuff. Then they can't do it. Does that make sense? So otherwise, it would be this whole trip that then only professional musicians could play, and then they're the superior guys because they're the ones that can do the kirtan. And so then Lord Chaitanya's point of nam nam akadi bahuda nija sarvashya, it means that that would have no meaning. Because then it's not that it's accessible to everyone. No, it's only accessible to those who all they do is to play music. Does that make sense? So, it's not that in the future these things won't come up as the culture gets established. You know, but nowadays it's like sit down to prasad, who chants the whole prayers in response? Right? So many places I go, if you start to do that, everyone kind of looks at you and goes, oh. Like I remember in South India, sat down Brahmin's house for prasad. You know, and then I started doing the rites that you do before you eat. You know, the sipping of water and eating the grains and chanting the mantras. And the old man next to me, the father of the house, he got disappointed. He thought, oh, great, Westerners, we can just sit down and eat. We don't have to go through all this. He saw me down. Oh, my God, you know. You know, so that's the whole thing is we don't have patience for just saying Surir Vijajal, let alone Nityapada Kamala to take you 45 minutes. That's just the song. That's not the Hare Krishna after that. You know, or I remember saying, you have Govinda Maharaj and Shivaram Maharaj, a few others, they'll take one tune and sing just that tune. They'll start off slow, go fast, then they'll come back slow again, the same tune, and keep going and do that for hours. And devotees were complaining that it's boring, it just keeps on going. Why don't they change the tunes? Like you see some devotees, every two mantras change tunes. You understand? So that's the whole point. We don't have the patience for that. We don't have the culture for that. So our Leela Kirtan, that's one way of doing Leela Kirtan. But the main way is like this, Bhagavatam, that's Leela Kirtan. You know, it doesn't have to be musical as such. It's just Leela Kirtan means describing the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. And then these cultural aspects, with time, these will become established. But it can only be established when one's a devotee and one knows music. But if one's a musician, one cannot do Leela Kirtan. Does that make sense? Because it's all about the music. It's not about the kirtan. You know, about all the cool little things like that. Like if you're doing a Leela kirtan, you ever seen the boys sometimes say, before the beginning of the kirtan mela, they do the madunga thing? That's supposed to be done before you do any of that. Then there's a mangalachar. We're not doing the mangalachar. So you do that, Then you do the Mangalacharan, where you go through all the prayers like that. Then you're going to start the particular pastime. So, yeah, so it's a whole, that's how they could spend the whole night just doing kirtan. And then you can, on top of that, if you know everything nicely, because, Bengali, you know the pastime and all that, they would even, as they're singing it, act it out. You know, like that. And then devotees could be dancing, you know, just like that. You know, it's a whole thing. So, it's basically like this. You don't have to worry about it if it's not around now. When you go back to Godhead, they'll be doing it there. The Chaitanya Leela, this is what they do at Shivas Thakur's house all night. You know, so.
In the Guruvayur temple, there is a performance every night.
In the Guruvayur. Yes, they maintain. Guruvayur maintains. They also they do the elephant procession. They do it, I think, 5 times a day, like that. They have one big one, and then 4 little ones. Every offering, every bhog offering, they sing Gita Govinda. At least they used to. Like now the government runs it. I don't know if they still do it, like that. And their elephant procession is 3 hours. So the deities go to sleep, and then the Utsav Murtis that go out on the elephant, they sleep in a different place because they don't go to bed till 12. So they start at 9, go to 12, like that. And they chant the whole time Hare Krishna Kirtan. And this was all, and the worship was all established by Shankaracharya. So it's the only temple that does this, you know, of the Shankars. You know. Everywhere else it's a bit dry, but this is way out of the way, so I figured he thought he could have it, make it nice, and it wouldn't bother all the other smartas and stuff. Yeah.
And devotees sponsor for the night performance.
Sorry?
Devotees sponsor for the night performance.
Devotees sponsor for the night performance.
But until 2031, everything has been booked. Every day of the year has been booked.
Every day has been booked to sponsor.
2031.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Till 2031.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So if you want to book a performance and sponsor it, you have to book in 2032. Sorry. No bookings before that. So. So in other words, chanting the name, form, qualities, and pastimes, that's the main activity we do, and we have our japa. So we are performing Lila Kirtan. It doesn't have that technicalness of it. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, sometimes it may be brought up that there's a difference in what we do and what was being done before. Like, you know, Bhaktivinoda talking about different things and about the, performing services in one's sarup and all those different things like that. But he does mention that that performance is only done once you come to the platform of bhava. But in his book, because he's describing everything, therefore he describes all the things. It's like Manu. Manu describes every possible aspect of the law that there is. Whether a king would ever see any of that in their life is another thing. Or like in the grammar, you have 3,000 sutras of grammar. Much of that you won't see, you won't come across unless you're very well read in the wide range of literature. Because sometimes I've heard some rules you might see once in your life. You know, it's like in our books we used to have in the Sanskrit, if you look at the old printings, they'll have the Luri. You have Luri, like that. You don't see it on our books anymore. Because they'll say, it's not there. That's something you come across very rare. I think it's in that first verse of, I think it's Rig Veda. Agni mi lare. Like that. It's there. So it's so rare, it doesn't. But all the grammar's taught, so you know it. But how much you use is less. Like, of all that 3,000 sutras, probably about 1,200 is what you'll regularly see. Like that. You know, just like of 2,000 root words in Sanskrit, then 1,200 is about what you'll use. So it's there, but you know it because if you ever come across it, you know what it means. Though in the regular usage, you don't use it. So like that. So we're doing, because this is the main thing. And then that's just another way you can do. You can do drama performances, the musical performances, you know, so all these different things, just the recitation of the mantras like that, going through like a Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Not Gopal Bhatta. Who's the other Bhatta? Raghunath Bhatta. He was expert at chanting Bhagavatam. He could chant Bhagavatam in three different tunes. That means he had a tune that could chant the whole, and then he had three ways he could do that. So whenever the Goswamis would get together reciting the Bhagavatam like that, that was what Raghunath Bhatta would do. You know, so you have, there's unlimited cultural aspects that are there to please Krishna. And so as long as then we do to please Krishna, then it becomes very nice. But if we get absorbed in that, then it just becomes another secondary aspect, a technical aspect and all that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It means that there is no material names. So here, what is being spoken of is only the primary names, which are non-material, or they are spiritual. But the other
no, the secondary names are also...
Okay, secondary also.
They're also the spiritual.
The others that you mentioned, you know, that all names are names of Brahman.
Yes.
Then that, unless we connect it, it will remain as material. Otherwise...
No. It means if we connect it, yes.
Then only it will be spiritual.
It means all the names are Krishna's names. You see everything in connection with Krishna, then there's no problem. And even when you're using in the ordinary sense, it doesn't mean it doesn't have its connection to Krishna, but they're not attributed as such to Krishna because of their standard usage. But it's not that the name itself can't be used in connection to Krishna.
So then you categorize as?
Categorize means?
Either material or spiritual, in the ordinary sense.
In here, the angle is being taken that Krishna doesn't have any material names because he's not material. Material means what's not connected to him, so he is, of course, is connected to himself. He's fully aware of himself. So there's no time when he ever comes under the modes of nature where he's unaware of himself. So, the aspect, and in this, please don't bring up Ananga, please. Don't bring up Ananga. No one got that? Good. Okay, so, then, so the whole point is he has no material name. Because everything, but he has a name. It's not that he has no names, because he has qualities, he performs pastimes as names and connects with those qualities and pastimes. So those are his names, but there's no material names. And at the same time, since they're unlimited, you can't say he has one name. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's like his name's not like Jose or something. You know, it's like, no, he has unlimited names. The devotees like the name, prefer the name Krishna because it means all attractive. But otherwise, technically, that's not his specific name. Right? And so that aspect's being brought out here. And the in line with, all the names are him. But it's when you see the qualities in connection with him, the activities in connection with him, the relations with him, then those names have that meaning. But otherwise, if you're not taking it that far, you're talking about just an ordinary usage. It's not that the philosophical aspect's not there, but at this point you're not discussing that. Therefore, then it's just called by that. Not necessarily it has to be material. It's just that you're not bringing out its connection with Krishna. We're talking about the pot, not the potness of the pot. But the reason that we're using this utensil is a pot because it has the potency of the potness in it, so this pot hood can do the work. You understand? So there's no such thing as material for the advanced souls, but it's not that they're attributing the name to Krishna directly. So, okay.
What I understand is that it's a matter of consciousness. Is it seen as a material or spiritual thing?
Yes, that's the whole thing, is consciousness. That's something, it is material, it is spiritual, it's consciousness.
Not like that they are separate.
No. That's what I was getting at. It's not a separate thing. It's like someone says something, you say, well, that's material. It's technically not material. It's their consciousness is material. Therefore, their perception of it is material. Therefore, we're identifying it as that. You know, it's just like when you speak to different people, you use the different mood or words or that go with that person. Like you speak to a child, you'll speak in one way. You speak to an adult in another way. But it's not that it's a separate thing. It's just that you're dealing according to the consciousness of the person you're dealing with. Does that make sense? You know, so it's like, you know, unless you're in France, you don't speak French to a dog, right? You know, it's the wrong language. They understand German, right? Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
So do they call Krishna Krishna in the spiritual world?
Yes. I'm saying it's the favorite name, but it's not that all these other names aren't used. So,
can you also say that Krishna is a generic name?
Krishna is a generic
name. And then specifics are like, you know, calling Shamsundar and Madhava and Gopinath and things like that. Govinda.
But what's the feature of Krishna is this attractiveness. So therefore the name Krishna. So it's not that it's generic in that it's impersonal. It means that he's just all attractive. Every aspect is attractive. Why we deal with everything is because we're attracted to it. And so that attractiveness comes from Krishna. So in other words, we have to understand here is this Achinta Veda Veda Tattva aspect of it. It's just how you look at it. Is your house spiritual or material? Depends upon how you look at it. You can't say, no, the house is material, completely material. No, it's that if you see it as yours, it's material. You see it as Krishna, it's spiritual. So this need to categorize it, that it's definitely here, definitely there, then that's dwait adwait. That's not a chinta veda veda tattva. So we have to be comfortable with that it's both. It just depends upon how it's being used. That's why it's a more sophisticated philosophy. That's why it's harder to understand, because of these overlaps. So we want to get rid of the overlaps and just make it very simple. I can remember the other day someone was telling me that when they're installing the deity, they prefer to use the pancharatric systems of installing the fire and worshipping the fire, because it's a pancharatric ceremony. And they say it's more consistent, it makes more sense, it's more logical, this, blah, blah. They go on and on and on. While we use the Vedic. And so then that's the difficulty, is that in the Vaikuntha lines, then they it's one thing. It's a majesty. They use the pancharatra. They don't use anything else. It makes it very easy, especially Shris. They're not into demigods. So they don't use nothing. So they just stick to the Vedic. I mean, to the Pancharatra. Well, for us, we use whatever is there is pleasing to the Lord. So in other words, the original stuff we don't mind using. Like you see Nanda Baba, and that is bringing the Yajnik Brahmins. They're performing all the activity. In Braj, they don't have a problem with Vedic. Vaikuntha is pancharatric, but in Braj it can be Vedic and Tantric. So we'll use more Tantric and more Vedic, and that mix and pancharatric, we'll use it all. It's just what the acharyas have given us, what we use in the different things. So some may say it's inconsistent, but it's not. It's just what's pleasing to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Like that's the consistency. It's about the Lord. It's connected to the Lord. Not that we have a problem with using a pancharatric way of installing a fire, but to say that that's logical and the other's not doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. Right? Since pancharatra is agama, it's come from the Veda, therefore it's an aspect of the Vedic. They're just using that aspect of Vedic and not other aspects. And then they're saying it's not, it's still Veda, it's still from the Veda. So it makes zero sense. But it makes sense to them. But in actuality, that's what's unique about us. No one can figure out the Gaudiyas. Because we're not tantric, and we're not Vedic, and we're not pancharatric. We're Bhagavad. So Bhagavad's the source of all the pancharatric and the Vedic. That's where it's from. It's from Braj in its natural, pleasant, you know, form. And then it becomes formalized in the other realms. And so the formality make, okay, this is, we have to have a box for this. Where does it fit? Is it material or is it spiritual? No, but depending on how you use it. Okay, so it's material then here. No, it's like that. It's used like this. Oh, so then it's spiritual. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
This is that same difficulty we have, is that, you know, it's like Prabhupada says, human life begins when you practice Varnashram. If you're not practicing Varnashram, you're not human. Advantages is, that's why in the Hare Krishna address, then quoting from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then even animals can take part in the Sankirtan movement, like Shivananda Sen's dog, right? Went back to Godhead, right? And so therefore, if you're not practicing Varnashram, you're technically not human, right? By culture, at least. So, but one can take part, like Hanuman, he's not human, but he's a great devotee. Right? So you don't have to be human to take up devotional service. But human life, it makes it easier if we have human desires, then by using that it works. At the same time, then after we'll say, but by following that, it's not complete unless you use it in Krishna service. Otherwise, it's just material. Right? And so then you get two groups. One will say, Prabhupada says here, you're not human unless you follow Varnashram. So you have to follow Varnashram. That's the signifying thing. You're a devotee, you have to follow Varnashram. Right? And then the other group is no, but here Prabhupada says it's about the devotion. If that's not there, it's useless, so therefore we don't need to follow it. And it has to be one or the other. It can't be both. You know what I'm saying?
Because that simplifies, no, that is the reason.
It simplifies, but then what do you get when you simplify? You know, it's just like kindergarten is simplified. Are you going to get a postgraduate degree out of kindergarten? No, then? That's the whole point. Is we want to simplify, but simplify according to our own intelligence instead of Siddhanta. So you understand? Siddhanta is simple, but it means you can absorb so many things and make them into, you know, understand. It's just chant and be happy. That's what Prabhupada says, chant, dance, and take prasad. That is our process. But to chant, dance, and take prasad, you need some organization to arrange that. But then when we get in, then we don't organize, so it's a bit, you know, not so sophisticated. And then when we said, oh, well, people are criticizing because we're not so organized, so let's organize. And now it's all about management. What happened to the chant, dance, and take prasad? You know what I'm saying? That's what we're about. So that's simple. You know, like I said the other day, math. It's just addition, various forms of addition. For anybody that did a major in math or anything that deals with math, to this is like, how you say? You know, when you take chalk and rub it on the chalkboard and it makes that screech, and your back goes like this, then that's what happens. Because that's all it is. It's just addition, different forms of addition. See? Because they'll say no because they want to make it complicated, because then they feel good because I did 20 years of it. And if it's that simple as addition, that anybody can understand that, so what's my special position? Does that make sense?
And can you say that because our goal is Braja, which is the utmost, hence our process, Achintya-Vidya-Vidya, is also very complex?
Not complex. Sophisticated. It's very simple.
In comparison to other simple.
No, it's very simple. It's more simple than everybody else, but it's more sophisticated than everybody else.
How do you define sophisticated?
Sophisticated means it's refined. It has so many technical aspects, but all those technical aspects still all work in the same way. So it's very simple to process how it works. But sophisticated, it can be applied into any situation. Like for the Shris, they can't deal with demigods. We can. Our system's more sophisticated. It's not more complicated. Complicated is what we make out of it. Sophisticated just means it's refined.
I was reading the other day that Bhishma Chakravarti Thakur explaining Swakiya in Parakiya, and people very confused about it. So he mentioned that those who can accommodate Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva will get a static picture of the pastime.
Static.
Static means,
yeah,
static. So it's this or that.
Yeah. That you can't. But the point is both are there because the same people are in both places. It's just the flavor. It's just the flavor. And that's the thing, is that Braj, you can take the flavor to its highest level of ecstasy. That's the uniqueness of the Parakiya. You can get it to Mahabhav, while in the Swakiya, you can only get it up to Anubhav, which is still not bad. You know, Vaikuntha, they get to Prema, and that's it. So we're talking about, you know, six stages above that, or five stages above. You know, so you're talking about something very wonderful, but the point is it has two different kind of aspects, and they're both based on the same thing. So the secondary form that's used will be the same. Does that make sense? It means the conjugal aspects, the kama maya that the queens are using, the kama maya that the gopis are using, it's the same. But one has the sense of possession, it means is lawfully connected, and one has the sense of possession only from the emotional point of view. But they're not, so therefore it keeps on on a different level. There's certain things that, you know, urgency is much greater in the Parakiya than the Swakiya, because the Swakiya is, you got the whole night. You can wake up in the morning and no one will complain. Spend the morning together, then he'll go off to work. Krishna has to leave before the sun comes up. He can only come after, you know, everyone's gone to sleep. So then the time that everyone goes after they've gone to sleep and when they've gotten up, that's the only time he has. You know, Radhakun, he goes out with the coward boys and being with them for a while and they're satisfied and all of that, then he goes off. But he has to come back before it's the time for them to come back to Braj. You know, does that make sense? Or they may see each other at at Jashoda Mai's house when they're cooking and arranging the prasad, or coming in the evening, or when they're there and, you know, when Krishna and them are going to with the coward boys out in the field, they may be around, but you can't directly interact, so everything has to be very hidden if there is going to be anything. So the intensity is so much greater. But otherwise, the secondary form is the same. It's not different. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that it doesn't. And then when you use the Vedic, it has the same form also. It's perverted because it's about ourselves, but it's the same form. When you drop below the Vedic, now you start getting more... Pervert is the overall, because it's not about Krishna. Distorted. It starts to become distorted. So when you drop below the Vedic, then when you drop into there, then different places, and that they have so many different ways of interacting and what they consider normal. And the farther down you go, so and pranamoy will have one level, but it's more cooperative. Anamoy will be even less. So that's quite distorted. It's very distorted. You know, we were discussing yesterday about rati. So the attractions and all these different things are quite distorted, how they're applied and everything.
Yeah.
So in the Vedic, then it comes up to human. And Krishna's performing human pastimes, so they use the same thing. The secondary is the same. The primary then is what's different, is that how, you know, seeing Krishna as the center of that as opposed to ourselves. So that's what we're trying to get to, is appreciating that subtle difference. And once you catch that, then you can see it in everything else. You know, because what we're seeing is as we go along, this point of not being able to see Krishna as both the efficient and ingredient cause causes so many difficulties. All your deism and all these things where you try to separate it off, that, yeah, there's the Krishna consciousness. You know, it's just like, I'm at the temple, I'm chanting japa, bhagavatam class, taking prasad, darshan, the deities, guru puja, you know, all these different aspects, that's all, you know, worshipping Tulsi, like that, so that's all spiritual. Right, but when I leave the temple, then everything's material. So it's my house, it's my this, it's my that, it's my everything. Because they don't see Krishna also as the ingredient cause. So your house is also Krishna. So since the house is Krishna, then how do you deal with Krishna in the form of a house? How does Krishna want to be dealt with? How do you worship Krishna as a house? Right? You know, you keep the place nice, keep it painted, keep, you know, when the door starts squeaking, you oil it, when, you know, things, you know, start, you take care of it. Because it's Krishna. You understand? But it's his energy. But at the same time, as he is a person, is different. For, to please the person, you take care of him, and it's his energy, is the house. You know, it's not that now Krishna, the person, is the house. Right? But his energy is the house. And so therefore there's rules how you deal with that house. You know, like that. So that's what you're dealing with. So when you see that, it becomes very simple. So you were saying it's very simple, but it's so sophisticated, it can accommodate everybody's position wherever they are, whatever they're doing. That's the sophistication. So does that make sense? So it's not complicated. It's really simple. It's all Krishna. You know, so that's why we don't move things with our feet, because it's Krishna. You know, it's like the mat. You have the mat and you're doing artik, it's in the wrong place, and people just move it with their foot. You're not supposed to, because that represents the earth, the mat. You know, and so we can't move it with our foot. We're not, you know, Chuck Norris or something. So we have to actually bend over and use our hand.
Some people lift stuff with their foot.
Mm-hmm. That's there, yeah.
Some
eat with their feet, yeah. Yeah. So the idea is that because there's all these things, you have to see it all in connection to Krishna. That's why then you have the upadana, all the paraphernalia is being prepared in connection to Krishna, then the yoga, you're setting it up and arranging all the arrangements for the puja. But because it's all connected to Krishna, that's why it's dealt with in a particular way. Like where you put the paraphernalia. I don't put, let's say I have boga, you know, offering things that aren't offered, and then let's say the Visarjaniya Patra, you know, where I throw the dirty water and the offered things. I don't put it on the other side of that because I'd have to reach over the prasad over the boga with prasad. And so that would be improper for the deity. So I have to have it in a place where I can directly deal with the Visarjaniya Patra. Right? And then the boga, I can directly deal with that. Does that make sense? So the two don't get mixed. And then after I offer it, I put it in a different place. Just like, let's say you have a tray. I have all the items to be offered. Now I can either take them from the tray, offer them, and then put them down somewhere else, not on the tray. Or I can take everything off the tray, offer it, and then put it back on the tray. But I can't take it off the tray and put it back on the tray, because that's all, it's still the other things for boga. So these are considered, because why? Because Krishna, you don't mix the two. Does that make sense? That you just don't do that. So it's all in consideration of Krishna. So because of that, then the whole thing works nicely. So the more you understand this, the easier it becomes. Otherwise you say, oh, so many rules. No, it's not so many rules. It's just that it's one rule. You're doing it to please Krishna. And in this case, cleanliness. So Prabhupada said puja is cleanliness and time, you know.
Punctuality.
So these two. So if I can take something as elaborate as the rituals like that and make it into two, why can't I take mathematics and make it into one like that?
It's already made.
It's already like that. So does that make sense? So the whole idea is that it's very simple, but now how do I apply cleanliness and punctuality into everything? That's the sophistication. It's not complicated. Complicated just means it keeps getting more and more, and that everything's dependent upon other things. No, this is all, it's just back to Krishna. It's all connected to there. So it's simple. You know, it's just like the lotus building.
Yeah.
And it means you can partly see that there's a drain right next to the building. Big, deep drain. That used to go all the way around. Then when they, and when the conch building was there, you know, like that, when they put the temple in between and they made the courtyard, then instead of keeping that drain and going around, then they put it underground. They made pipes and there's a drain right in the middle. So now by Western calculations, they'll take it that that's simple. But actually that's complicated. The open drain is simple. Because it works the same, you can clean it easily, there's no complication. Now, that one in the courtyard, if that gets blocked up, it's very difficult to fix it. You might have to even rip up the courtyard to do that. But if it was an open drain and you just slant it out to the drain, you never have any problem. Does that make sense? So, that's simple. Now, let's say, like in the Gurukul, we have those gargoyles. You heard the drains. They come out and then there's a dragon there with a yaksha holding them up, right? Now, that's still simple because it's just an open drain. But the design is sophisticated. So the working of the drain doesn't change by ornamenting it. But some will say, no, that's complicated. That's not simple. It is simple. It's just an open drain.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it just made, you understand? So the Vedic culture can have all these things that it's the same. Or let's say like a the rug, you know, the wool rugs. They have a series of borders. If you look at it, it's actually a very simple design, but because they have so many things going on and how they do, it's very sophisticated, but it's actually very simple, the construction of it, of the design. Does that make sense? So, like that, the Vedic is simple. Because you can take it down to something very core. You know? I guess in the West you have that also, like Bauhaus. It's very simple. You take out anything that would make it look nice, and whatever's left, and that's Bauhaus. So I guess you could do that, yeah. Does that make sense? So that's the things we're trying to... What we're discussing is the simple aspect, that core aspect. And then once that's caught, then you can go back and all these other things apply very easily. But otherwise, then, if we're trying to make it the secondary as the main focus, then it always becomes difficult because then there's so many different secondary things that can be used. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that it's how it can be, what it does, its application. So it's very sophisticated. That makes sense? You know, it's just like you come home, you've been out, you come home, you come in and you say hello. Right? So you're going to say hello in a kind of pleasant, generic form. Right? But your next words are going to be based on, you know, the hello that comes back. Even though it was just hello, you know, what comes back, depending upon that hello was said, then now your next words are going to be adjusted. No?
Yeah,
so it's just hello. It's simple. But it's very sophisticated how it can be applied, how many ways you can say hello. But so that's the thing, it's just more sophisticated.
In terms of services, regarding the same thing, the names of the Lord.
The names of the Lord.
Yeah. So, they say that in Tattvataha, you know, the deities, you know, they are Krishna only, right? Let's say, you know, Govind, Gopinath, so on and so forth. But then they say that our Ishta is, for example, Madhav. So that's okay, right? Because they discriminate as well as at the same time they don't.
Meaning? I don't catch the point.
They say they have a liking for one deity.
They have a liking for one deity because each deity will have a particular mood that it's presenting. And so they may have an affinity for there. Also, they've done service to that particular deity. And so then there'll be a rapport between them. It's all the deities are Krishna, but he has a particular flavor. So it's just that Krishna's there in all the realms, and then you have a particular flavor that you prefer.
And considering the acharyas, they have their own deities, like Sanatana Goswami, so that's fine, even the sadhakas to have a particular inclination towards a particular...
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
by what would you consider someone to be practicing Varnashram?
That you, as the instruction that Prabhupada gives on how we should try to live, then we follow that. As opposed to saying, no, in the modern world they don't do this, so we're not going to do that. That would be the difference.
Okay, so it's more of a... You value the concept and you're...
And you're trying to apply it the best you can.
Okay.
That's Varnashram. The secondary form of it, there's the traditional forms, but
yeah,
there's the purpose of it, so you're trying to get as close as possible.
Yeah.
So if you can... You know, if the option is there to apply it in its natural form, why wouldn't you use it?
Mm-hmm.
But if that natural form's not there, then you don't use it.
Okay, so it's predominantly on the person's values... And if they have access.
Yeah, because the values are there, because that's what makes humans, is the values.
Yeah. Okay.
You know. Does that make sense? You know, I bring out a bone, humans don't get excited. I bring out a bone, a dog gets excited. Like that. It's the difference of values.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, like I remember taking an apple, you know, like that. Again, you know, the dog here going out and showing to the dog, they come over, kind of skeptically look at it. Sniff and go away, like that, you know. But you bring an apple out to a cow, then they're really excited.
Horses also.
Yeah. Oh, they love apples. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. They like apples. Really like them.
Yeah. They can smell them from far
away. Oh, okay. Okay. So I guess with humans, then they're the someone's the apple of your eye. With the horse, is the apple of their nose. Yeah. Humans as a culture is a level of consciousness. So your authority is there. You accept that authority. You apply that in your life. So what are the Varnashram Prabhupada's given us? That's what we're following. We're not expecting to follow things that Prabhupada didn't give us.
My question is coming from because you know there's the four Varnas and four Ashrams.
Yeah, but when you have an occupation, you function within that. It's just like, let's say, you have a job. You're working for somebody. Therefore, you have to follow the rules according to working for somebody.
Yeah.
It means you have to respect the boss. You have to respect the workers. You have to expect anybody connected to the boss. You have to know what is the purpose of the company you're working for and what your job does in connection with that and try to do your best to obtain that. You do that, you have a job. You don't do that, you lose your job. So you have to follow it. You're a business person, then you make money. You have to take care of your dependents. You can't give them less money, you know, things like that. And you have to give in charity. So you have to know that these are duties you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Kshatriya, he has to know, he has to protect those under his care. That's his main thing, not being a big manager and being in control. Those are tools you use to protect,
mm-hmm.
right? Brahman, he studies and teaches. You have to know these things.
Yeah.
So that much you have to do. More technical, it depends upon how much you're involved.
Yeah, no, I'm more asking about the, like, today, like, those are very, you know, the standard, so, but today it's not always possible, like, there's brahmanas who are forced to take occupation of...
Yeah, but when they're at a job, how do they work? They have to work according to the rules of the Shudra.
Yeah. And then there are people who, like once you were describing, you know, they're mixed varna, like they you know, they have maybe some predominant.
Yeah, but you have to work within something. You can't you can't mix them.
Yeah, but you also said that you
But no, here, if you're saying I already said this, then you should already know it. So why the question?
Because it's hard to tell when somebody is. I wanted to know what is defined when somebody is following Varnashram.
Means you just have to worry about it for yourself. Is that you follow the rules that are given, and apply those in your life and your situation.
Yeah, but sometimes some people ask stuff, and then what should I answer?
Asks stuff. What kind of stuff?
They ask me questions, or they bring up some kind of argument that they're expecting me to defeat or support.
But the point is that why get involved?
No, they're involving me.
Yeah, so
they're like seeking me out.
Yeah, so then you just tell them that it's none of your business. I mean, it's not your business to get involved in this discussion. You have to tell them to go ask somebody who has knowledge of all these things. Okay. You know, go ask a pundit or something.
Yeah, but isn't it in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says that you have to defeat that person?
That you can also just go away.
Okay.
It means you have a few offers. It means you can defeat them, you can go away, you can kill yourself, or you can cut out their tongue.
Yeah.
Like that. So you have four options. So then if defeating them works, then you do that. If not, you just walk away. It's just because they feel the need that they have to involve you. That's their own self-centered point. They don't have a right that you have to be involved. They'll have ways, clever ways of saying and getting you involved, like that. I knew one devotee. He loved to argue. It was just it was fun. He just loved to argue. Didn't matter what you did, he'd figure out a way to get you in an argument, like that, and then he'd be so happy.
Yeah, these are the people.
Yeah, so then you just figure out how to, you know, not be with those people. You know, or figure out, you know, listen, spend time listening to questions and answers by Jayadwaita Maharaj. You can hone down your one-liner answers, and then they'll just be quiet. Because you know? They just want to extend the conversation. They don't want to come to a conclusion. They just want to argue.
Yeah,
that's all.
I know.
Yeah, so just tell them you don't have time now. You got to go chant your rounds or... You have something more important to do.
I'm riding a cycle, and they will like ride next to me. You know?
Yeah, then you just what do you call it? Then you go, oh, I forgot something. And just hit your brakes and they keep going. You know, and then go a different route. That's the thing in Mayapur. To get any place, you have so many roads. Like that, you know. I could get from here all the way over to, let's say, GVN, and not meet anybody. Right, you go out here, go down this road there, the back road, and then back in. Just we went no, but this is the quickest way. No, it's not, because you bump into people, they talk.
Okay, you know, but hang on.
Like you want to walk to the temple from here, the quickest way is not down this road. The quickest way is to go, keep going down, and then go in that side road before the Grihasthapara, and then come in that way. You're not, you know, you'll hear a lot of pilgrims, but you won't meet anybody to yak with. You know what I'm saying? So you just have to learn like that. When you go into the temple, how you go in, which door you go in, which one has the least people. If that person always goes in this door, there's three other doors. You know? That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
And if you know that I can go in this door, but I got to get out that door, you go to that other door, leave your shoes there, walk around to the other door and go in that door. So it's just, it's work. It means all benefits require work.
Yeah. So now you've said something that's kind of contradictory, or that it's kind of not consistent. Like one time you were saying that you can whatever inclination you have or whatever nature you have, you can apply it in the different areas. But just then you say,
yeah, but in that one area, you have to apply that. Just like if you're cooking, you have to apply the laws of cooking to that.
Yeah.
If you're cleaning, you have to apply the laws of cleaning.
But then you just said you can't mix them, so to me that seems like you're mixing
them. Have you ever tried to vacuum the rug and cook at the same time? That only works if you're talking on the phone and holding a baby. Then you can do it. But otherwise, you can't do that. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So that means when you're at work, the Brahmin is at work, then he has to perform his duties like a Shudra. Then he goes to the temple and he's giving class. Now he has to do it like a Brahmin.
Oh, okay.
So I
have to investigate further.
Okay. Generally, less intelligent men are under the impression that the Lord has no form. Therefore, he appears in his original form as Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. Brahma Samhita 5.1, to carry out his mission of participating in the battle of Kurukshetra, and pastimes to protect the devotees and vanquish the demons. Paritra Naya Sadhunam Vinashayasha Duskritam. Bhagavad Gita 4.8. This is his mercy. For those who think that he has no form and no work to do, Krishna comes to show that indeed he works. He works so gloriously that no one else can perform such uncommon acts. So even though he has no work, like he has no name, he has no work, but he performs it and it's glorious. No one else has like that. Like Krishna has no name, but he has so many names, unlimited names. No one has that many unlimited names. Right? Even if a guy you don't like, there's a limited amount of names you can call him. Right? You know. Yeah? Yeah. Even in Yiddish. Right? Although he appeared as a human being, he married 16,108 wives, which is impossible for a human being to do. The Lord performs such activities to show people how great he is, how affectionate he is, and how merciful he is. So that's his whole point, is that the greatness, so that then we pay attention, also then we don't try to put ourselves or compete with. But then how affectionate and how merciful. So that's the main point, is then how affectionate. So the greatness is the vanquishing the demons and establishing Dharma, but then the protecting the devotees, that's the part of the mercy and the affection. Although his original name is Krishna, Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28, he acts in unlimited ways. And therefore, according to his work, he has many, many thousands of names. Right? So Krishna is the one name, the original name, that all other names are based on, because he's all attractive. So all these other names, the reason we're attracted is because of the attractive element. But they're describing a particular situation. So just he himself is the all attractive. Everything's connected to him. Everything comes from him. That's Krishna. Yeah? The impersonalists imagine the various demigods to be forms of the Lord. For example, the Mayavadis worship five demigods, Panchopasana. They do not actually believe in the form of the Lord. But for the sake of worship, they imagine some form to be God. Right? So there, what we would classify is that they mean, just like in the atheistic moralists, then there's a group who accept the concept of being a supreme because it makes morality work better. But they don't ultimately believe. Right? So then within the theistic moralism, then you have those that believe in the Lord, but it's a temporary aspect, or those who actually believe in the permanent. So the permanent means Vaishnavas. The non-permanent means the Jnanis and the Karmis. Because they're not interested in the permanent aspect of the Lord. Does that make sense? They'll worship for a certain time, but for a particular purpose. Once they got that purpose, they'll give up the worship. Like, let's say someone's worshiping the Lord in Karmakanda, they get to the heavenly planets. When they're on the heavenly planets, are they worshiping the Lord? Right? We never hear about it. So it stops. Or if they go to Brahman, then they're only thinking, Aham Brahmasmi. They're not thinking about Krishna. Does that make sense? So therefore, it's not accepted as devotion. So here, they don't mind accepting some form as God, because it just makes it easier to meditate. Right? Just like, let's say, Buddhists, you're supposed to meditate on nothingness. That's really hard. So instead of that, they'll use a wall or a candle. Right? And so then, like that. A little less boring, but still boring. But right? So the Mayavadis don't mind using that as a technique, because they're Buddhists. So, you know, it's fine. Yes.
So how do they match Brahmananda with Vijnana Maya? Because it doesn't match. Where's the Ananda part?
there means the Ananda is not being harassed by the material energy. So it's not actually Ananda. It's called Ananda Maya, but it's simply they're on the situation of Ananda Maya. And so that situation will give a particular happiness in that there's no unhappiness from the material world. You know, it's like the example we give of you're outside and it's very hot. You know, you're sweaty and all that, then you and fatigued. Then you go inside the house and it's very nice and cool and pleasant. So you sit down, you enjoy that coolness that's there. Right? Because all it is the pain from the heat of the outside is going away. But as soon as you become the same temperature as the room, there's no more happiness in having come in out of the hot. Right?
Because if we press hard enough, many devotees actually will admit after some time that that's the what they want. They don't worry, you know, about Krishna. They just want to escape from here because it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah, but the problem is if they don't worry about Krishna, they'll be bad. You know what I'm saying? You know, the big guy, you know, he'll be back. So, and he always is. So that's the way it works. So yes, they want to do this. So that'll be Jnana Misra Bhakti. Because they're performing devotional activities. And they'll get some form of this, whatever it is. But they remember Krishna at the time of death, then they'll go to the spiritual world. But if they're focused more on this, just getting rid of the material pain or facility, then they'll end up somewhere else. But their devotional service won't stop. So then when they come back to their position that they're in here, then they'll continue. Does that make sense? But you generally come back to the similar kind of position.
Because the previous discussion about name, Krishna is both general and specific name.
Yes.
And then you mentioned that nobody can figure out Gaudiya's, but we can figure out ourselves.
The Acharyas have us figured out.
And
you know, so we're trying to learn this. It doesn't mean that even you're dealing with the Shris that you can understand them either, because otherwise they can't figure themselves out. Otherwise, why is there Water Goliath and Ten Goliath? Because when Ramanujacharya was there, there wasn't these two groups. That meant he was discussing both, because both of them find their foundation in Ramanujacharya. That means he was discussing both. So because you're dealing with Krishna, who is the source of all, opposites. You know, you can reconcile all those in the Lord. Therefore, there'll always be some of that. Just that because of the formality of Vaikuntha, there'll be less of it. You know, it's more, obvious. But in Braj, then it's, you know, it's here you have the Supreme Lord who fear personified is afraid of, and he's running away because Mother Jashoda is chasing him with a stick. You know, things like that. So, you don't get that in Vaikuntha. So it's less going on. The sophistication is less. The same principle is there. It means the philosophy that's there, no matter what sampradaya you are, where you are in the spiritual world, is all the same. It's just a matter of the particular taste. So depending on the taste, it becomes more sophisticated. Like Vaikuntha, he's God. There's Lakshmi, there's the major devotees, and that's you don't have to worry about anything more. But then when you go up to Dwarka, then he's got 16,108 queens. You know, and you have all the different rasas in place. Then you get to Braj, and it's even more. You know, so it becomes more sophisticated. So,
yeah, then the more confusion comes even then. We chant Harinam, but then we chant Gayatris, and it's all kind of mantras. We chant Brahma Gayatri, then Pancharatras, and then we chant Gopal and Kama Gayatri.
But they're still all considered Pancharatric. But Hare Krishna's Bhagavat, those others would be considered Pancharatric. Like that. And then Brahma Gayatri, that's Vedic. Brahma Gayatri is for getting you off the material platform. that we're not the body, we're the soul. Right? So that's the position of that. Then the other is that we're going to go to the Lord through Guru, Gauranga, and then you have the different aspects of Krishna that are then applied in his pastimes in the Kama Gayatri. So the Kama Gayatri is the pastimes, the Gopal Gayatri is the different moods that are applied in the pastimes. So it's all one consistent thing. Because all that's done on the spiritual platform. So the Brahma Gayatri is that spiritual platform. And then all the others are the pastimes of Krishna, the moods of Krishna, how we can understand through, you know, how Lord Chaitanya is giving us and what's our connection is through Guru. So all they're all consistent with each other. That's the point, is when one catches that the primary is what holds all the different secondaries together, then there's no confusion. Otherwise, confusion comes up because there's a difference in the form. And we can't. You know, it's just like, let's say someone can cook. They can cook any cuisine because they understand the principles of cooking. Because there's not different techniques of cooking. They may put them together in unique ways and spicing and this and that. But you're going to temper spices and oil. There's just one way to do it. You know, you're going to put various spices and things into oil and cook it until it separates. There's just one way of doing it. You're going to boil things is one way of doing it. You know, you're steaming it, you're going to bake it, you're going to fry it, you're going to deep fry it. There's just one way of doing it. Now, how the combination will put together, what spices with what ingredients, that will make the various cuisines of the world. But once you know how to cook, you can cook anything. You know, or let's say someone can drive. They can drive anything. Or, you know, bicycle. You can ride any bicycle. So it's not that it's different. But we get confused in between when we don't know so much.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But it has to be understood is because of not understanding the principles. That's why we're getting down to the principles. Because if you understand the principles, going out becomes very easy. But if we don't, because it's just combinations. That's all it is. It's just combinations. Does that make sense? You know, it's like a chachari. You're going to make the chaunts. You're going to use specific kinds of spices. It's going to be simple. You're going to put the vegetable in. You're going to, you know, rely more on the frying part. You know, you put a lid on, it'll steam. But the frying aspect is the more. You're trying to bring that out. So this is a chechki. You steam the vegetables beforehand, make the same chaunts, throw the vegetables in, and then they're just lightly fried because it's only to give a little bit of flavor because they're already cooked. Mm. But it's, the technique of cooking basically is the same, but because one's not cooked, pre-cooked, and the other one's been already parboiled, then it gives a different effect. So it's called two different preparations. Even though it's actually one thing. But then you do a ganta, you're going to do the same thing, but you're going to add some water when you're doing this process, so you get a little bit of a kind of a very thick, sticking sauce. But now if I add a lot of water, then it'll be a rasa. Right? And if in that chaunce I put some other spicing, you know, wet spicing and all that, then I'll get a dalma. You know, but the cooking's the same. So that's the whole thing, is you can take it down to that. If you actually know it, you know how it goes down to that. Therefore, you can put it together. And you can take, let's say, for cooking, you want to cook a preparation. So you look up recipes. And in these recipes, you might have four or five different ways to do it. So now according to you know cooking, you know what kind of taste you like to get out of your cooking. Then you'll take elements out of all that, so you'll get that prep, but in a way that you like it. Because this one here, they fried it, but didn't put this in. This one, they didn't fry it, but they put this in. But then you like both of those, so you'll fry it and put that in. You know? So then it'll be that preparation, but it'll be unique to all those five recipes. So the secondary looks different, but in principle, it's all the same. Is that in a sense? So the discussion is on that primary level. So if you had two cooks discussing, you know, you say, oh, how do you cook this? You don't have to go through the detail. you just go through, well, I'll put this. Okay, but do you fry this here or do you not fry it? Well, I prefer not to. Why don't you fry? Because when you do that, it brings out that, and then it doesn't balance with this spice because I like to use this. Like, does that make sense? And so that's your discussion. You don't have to get into the detail of put it in, how hot was the pan, how long the bit, how much ghee you put in there. You don't have to do those things. So what we're trying to get to here in the discussion is, what is this core points that everything is based on, how it all comes out from there. And so if that's understood, then all these things work really well. Then you just apply them to the various details. But otherwise, if we approach this from the detail, then it'll be confusing because we're using such different details to explain the same point. That's the Vedanta Sutra keeps coming up with these different angles because they're dealing with philosophies that only see the secondary. They don't see the primary. So that's why you have to deal with it. So the same word is argued again and again and again from different angles because the people you're discussing with don't see that it's one point. Does that sound like sense? So that's all that we see that the Vedanta Sutra is doing, is bringing out all the different angles that the simple philosophy can be complicated by seeing it in an improper way. So,
yeah. If you're gonna completely not worry about liberation, like, well, liberation in the sense that you're just worried about Krishna and you're not worried about the, you know, suffering in the material world.
Right.
You have to be very comfortable with traumatic and painful events in your life.
But even if you're uncomfortable with them, it doesn't change anything. The point is traumatic events happen anyway, whether you're God conscious or not, whatever level of consciousness you're on, they happen the same thing.
Yeah, but to not want them at all, like to not care, to be indifferent to them completely.
No, but the point is, it's just like this. If you go to a restaurant and order a preparation,
yeah,
you get a plate.
Yeah.
Do you have to worry about getting a plate? It comes automatically. So we're taking it, though, there's liberation or there's God consciousness. No, God consciousness already includes liberation.
I understand.
So if you want liberation, fine, but focus on Krishna.
Okay.
And if you're not sincere in focusing on Krishna, how are you going to get liberation?
Yeah.
But if you're sincere in focusing on Krishna, you don't care about liberation.
Well,
but you get it.
Yeah,
so you don't have to worry. You get it. It will happen.
There
won't be an om sign in a cloud. That's the only difference.
I was trying to practice that, and I just could not care about that.
Yes, but then when you care about that, who do you go to? You go to Krishna.
Yeah, that was then.
So then that's fine.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Vrindavan ki.